You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Take me to the water, take me to the sea.
Ahoy, and welcome aboard Caleb's Canoe. We will be sojourning through the dangerous white water rapids of prophecy today. So put on your life vest of righteousness and hold tight to your steering paddle as we wade through the water of the Word of God. All right, now we're going to begin an investigation into, we talked about death, okay? If you remember, we finished that. We got into the prophecy of today, abortion and that issue. Now we're going to talk about war. And actually, we're going to end up showing you exactly what's actually happened behind the scenes to create the Ukrainian war with Russia that's going on right now. But we're going to build up onto that because I'm going to look at the history of war in America, because that's something I know a lot about. Of course, we live in America, so we want to take a look at how it all began. Of course, you know it all began because of the taxation without representation, and we actually broke off violently and with great violence from the British government. We went to war. A lot of men died, good men on both sides, godly men died on both sides, but we freed ourselves from their control. But, you know, the first 11 years, we did not have a constitution. We had the Articles of Confederation. And in the Articles of Confederation, we had no executive branch. There was no central judicial branch. It was a weak central government. There was no taxing power. And each state got only one vote in Congress. Now, the Articles of Confederation failed. Okay, and it did because we needed a strong federal government. And so we ended up with the Constitution having a new central government and a president. We then had a judicial branch. We then had the power to declare war. We also had Congress had the power to tax. And then we had the Senate and the House. One of the things that reason why we came up with the Articles of Confederation before the Constitution, and that was because we were fearful. America was very fearful of one particular thing, and that was the federal government overriding the states. And that was a big issue. And so they solved it by having this balanced government where you have a president, you have the House of Representatives, you have the judicial branch, and then, of course, all together you have four branches. You have the Senate, the Congress, the presidency, and the judicial branch. So that's why we have that. Now, if you look at America, okay, so it started with war. We had, we basically went to war with Britain. A lot of men died on both sides. Actually, after the war was over, do you know the United States actually went to war with Canada and lost, okay? Then, of course, in 1812, the British tried to come back again and get control of America, and, of course, they lost. And then we then went to war again with Canada and lost. So history is basically surrounded by war. Well, the United States, you know, we had the 13 original colonies, and all of a sudden we got an opportunity from Napoleon. And Napoleon was in trouble because in 1803, it looked like he was going to be going to war, the Napoleonic Wars with Great Britain, and he needed money. So what he did was he sold the Louisiana Purchase to America. So because of the coming war, we got to buy double the size of America through the Louisiana Purchase, which was only cost us $15 million. Of course, that meant a lot more back then. But war started our country, and war, actually not with us, but war with the France and Napoleon and the British Empire, those things caused us to be able to get the Louisiana Purchase. Okay, so then after that, it was an interesting war that occurred after that. In 1846 to 1848, we had what was called the Mexican War, or the United States against Mexico. And what happened was we annexed, you know, all know the story of the Alamo. I'm sure every child knows that. I remember the Alamo and so forth. And in 1948, we annexed it. And then there was a discrepancy because the Mexicans believed that Texas ended at the Nueces River, whereas the United States claim was it ended at the Rio Grande. So we went to war over that. And It was James K. Polk. He was a Democrat. In fact, it was interesting because I know a lot about Polk because there's a plant that they used to promote his presidency, and it was a pokeberry. And a pokeberry was a really interesting plant. I loved it because pokeberry had this juice that was this beautiful fuchsia, pinkish color, just gorgeous. And what I would do when they were blooming and the berries were out, I would have the students crush one and write their name or draw a little picture. And we talked about Native Americans and how they dressed up. And sometimes during war, they would put pokeberry on their face to make themselves look more vicious and so forth. In fact, pokeberry is kind of an interesting plant because in itself, the seeds can remain viable laying on the ground for 40 years before finally they'll sprout. And they have a real thick seed coat. So at any rate, we had a war with Mexican. It was our first major war with another country other than the War of 1812 and the original freedom that we fought for in 1776 with freeing ourselves from British control. Well, then the Mexican War, okay, a war again, people died on both sides. We ended up gaining California, Nevada, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, and we got Texas increased by double its size, all because of that. So we see that and then another war that was interesting was Russia. And remember this, because we're going to get back to this. The Crimea War was a war where the European nations, including Turkey, went against Russia in Crimea. In fact, what happened, it was between 1954 and 1956, Russia fought the Crimea War with England and other European nations for access to the world's maritime commerce. It was also a religious war because Russia, which was a Christian country at the time, they wanted to have access to Jerusalem and all the different religious sites that they wanted their people to be visited there. So that was tied up in it also. So what ended up happening during that war, Russia got clobbered, okay, and as a result, they were in deep financial trouble. So what they did was they sold to America Alaska for $7,200,000. Boy, just imagine what America would be like if we never had control of Alaska, okay? Imagine Russia right there on our borders constantly, okay, threatening us and so forth. So at any rate, another war, okay, the Crimea War, caused us to be able to purchase Alaska. And then, of course, we ended up getting Hawaii in an interesting way. We just invaded them. In 1893, the United States Marines invaded the island and overthrew the queen, and they annexed the territory. Of course, it eventually became a state in 1959. In fact, both Alaska and Hawaii were admitted to the state's statehood in 1959, and I was alive at that time. It's kind of interesting when it all happened. So we want to get back to another war. So we're looking at the war, famine, pestilence, and death, and we're looking at war. We see that we were a bloody battle between Britain, and then when we won that, we then having to fight them again. And then, of course, we saw that our country was increased in size by double because of the Napoleonic Wars, and Napoleon needed the money to fund his war. We see the war with Mexico and how we increased the country all the way to the Pacific Ocean now, et cetera. We ended up getting Alaska because of the war in Crimea. And then there was the Civil War. And the Civil War was probably was the most costly of all because more Americans have died in the Civil War than have died in any other of the wars that we've ever had, including World War I and World War II. So what happened? Why did we have a war? Well, it all started with a compromise of 1850. Okay, in California, they were admitted to the free state. Now, what was happening was that we were getting all these new states because of the war with Mexico. And then there was a big controversy issue because we were allowing states to declare themselves either free or slave. So it was a big battle. Some of the territories decided about slavery and others wanted it and others didn't. And it was a big problem that occurred. So we came up with a compromise and just allowed the states to decide whether or not that we would have a slave state or a free state. Okay, of course, we had some other problems too, and we'll talk about them in a minute. But there was a lot of problems that brought on this war. Sectionalism was one when the northern and southern states started to refer to themselves as being two separate and independent nations rather than one nation. I think we should remind ourselves of the fact that we have the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, and we're really totally separate on so many different issues. We know that last time that happened, we ended up going into a war over it. We don't want to see that. Slavery caused the war due to the debate between the states that wanted slavery and other states that didn't want slavery. The Nebraska Act caused fierce feuding in Kansas. Economics was a major part due to the different dependencies on imports and exports. The North wanted a protective tariff and a port on imported and exported goods, as they relied little on them. But the South wanted no part of the tariff, as they were 90% dependent on imports and exports. So this idea, this conflict over the tariffs was a big issue. And states' rights, the states believed that the state's government, remember we talked about the Articles of Confederation before, about they wanted states to be basically free except for certain things that the federal government would have power and control over. Okay, and then there was no compromise on this issue. So we have arguments between the states. We have the Dred Scott decision. The Supreme Court denied the request of slaves being considered citizens. See, the South had a lot of slaves, and they wanted their citizens, their slaves, to be considered citizens. And the Supreme Court said no. A slave, in fact, they ended up with a compromise. A slave wasn't worth a full person in the eventual compromise we had. So they had economic and social differences. There was the expansion of the North-South, and which state would choose to be free, which would be slave. And, of course, we had a book come out, and this was a major influence on it. It was Harriet Beecher's book called Uncle Tom's Cabin, and that was published and showed all the atrocities that were being committed against the slaves. And so all these things were a problem, and even before the war started, there were a group of Democrats who were in the North. Now, remember, the Democrats, traditionally, the roots are in slavery. And if you really look at it today, they're still enslaving people. And we won't get into that right now, but I'll talk about that later, how they're actually accomplishing that, not as direct as it was before. But there were a group of people called the Copperheads. And Abraham Lincoln, they were trying to come up with a compromise. They didn't want to see a civil war. They wanted it to end. And what did Abraham Lincoln do? He arrested all of them. He did away with the right of habeas corpus and got rid of all the dissenters. So we can see that this was a big problem. And then we got into another war. After the Civil War, if that wasn't enough, okay, in 1898, we got into the Spanish-American War. And if you remember, it basically was President McKinley, who had two terms in office. He was elected in 1896 and inaugurated in 1897. He was assassinated in 1901, and then Teddy Roosevelt took over. Well, what happened was we went to war with Spain because we claimed that they had sunk the Maine, a battleship. Well, we know today, and even knew then, that it was not sunk by the Spanish. Okay, it was an explosion that occurred from the inside out, not from the outside in. However, we gained a lot from that, because from the Spanish-American War, which was really a trumped-up war, is probably more attributed to the the publicity in the newspapers rousing up the people to go to war with Spain. In fact, in one of the movies, Citizen Kane, he even brings up the idea that I can cause a war anytime I want just because I control the media. I control the newspapers. Well, anyway, what was the result of the Spanish-American War? Cuba was liberated, and the United States annexed the Philippines, Guam, and Puerto Rico. Well, later, of course, we gave back Philippines to the people, but kept Guam, and we kept also Puerto Rico. In fact, they now can vote in a presidential election, but they're not considered a state, although they're trying awful hard, at least Puerto Rico is. Okay, now, what about World War One? Okay, why did we get into World War One? Well, there was one thing that happened early on in the war was the sinking of the Lusitania. 1,100 passengers were killed, and 128 of them were Americans. But we found later that they were carrying weapons, and therefore they were a legitimate target by the Germans. But the real reason was this Zimmermann plot. And what it was, Arthur Zimmermann was a double agent working against the best interests of Germany, and in fact, working against all Christians. History tells us that Christian Russia was plunged into the hell of anti-Christian communism, where 40 to 50 million Christians died horrible deaths, not the least being the Ukrainian Christians of Holodomor, who began dying under Stalin to the tune of 7 million. We see this issue again come up with Ukraine. We saw it before in the Crimea War. We see it again even in World War II. So what Zimmerman was able to do, he got us all, right after that plot came out into the news, we ended up declaring war on Germany 3 days after that, 3 or 4 days later. Okay, so we see that this was actually a plot again. So what was the reason behind it? Well, there was a depression going on in America between 1913 and 1914. Well, when the war began, us not being in it directly, our economy began to boom. In fact, the exports that we had originally before the war started of $824 million turned into $3.5 billion by the time of the war. In fact, right down from where I taught school was Bethlehem Steel. And Bethlehem Steel rose quickly to be one of the largest manufacturing companies in the entire country just because of that war. So we benefited from World War One big time, okay? And we only were in it for about 6 months in fighting. We just tipped the scale. And one of the sad things about history, in fact, Woodrow Wilson remembers this in his memoirs. One of the saddest things that occurred during the war, during the World War One, was the fact that both sides were fed up. They were losing all these men. They were dying in the trenches. Mothers were picketing back at home. And it almost looked like the war was going to end in a stalemate and everything would go back to the way it started before the war started. Well, that was not going to sit well with America because all these countries owed us money. All the allies owed us a lot of money, and that's how our economy grew so much. And we wanted to get paid. So Wilson, okay, decided we were going to enter the war, okay, and we did. And when we did, the results were that we had a treaty then that was signed afterwards, and it was the Treaty of Versailles. And this treaty basically punished Germany, basically said that they had to accept all the blame for the war and pay millions of reparations. You see, one of the reasons why Wilson's went into this war and finally swung it in the favor of the Allies was because he wanted to make sure that our companies would get paid for all the goods that they had shipped over on credit. So one of the things he regretted later was, wow, what would have happened if we'd have never went into the war? Maybe war would have ended then and there would have been no winner. Because every time there's a winner, okay, then we can move on to the next thing. Oh, well, if you go into the war and you win it, you're going to end up better off than before. So we have this treaty at Versailles. And one of the things that started was the major cause of World War II. Because then you had the rise of fascism in Italy. You had the Japanese expansionism. You had economic depression. You had anti-communism. You had appeasement. You had militarism. You had nationalism. You had the rise of Hitler. Major causes. So we end up... how did we get into war again? Okay, well, you know what happened in December 7th, 1941. Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, and of course, we went right into war. And of course, Germany, since they were linked with the Japanese, declared war on us. But before that happened, it was kind of interesting. If you read about one of the great things that happened, it was this map that was discovered, and it was sent to the United States. And this map basically depicted how the Germans, when they won the war, were going to re-establish South America. And one of the things they were going to do was take over the Panama Canal, which was a big thing. Okay, this actually was sent to our president and said that, look, this is what they're planning to do. They're planning to eventually come over and take the Panama Canal and put you under their foot. Okay, well, this was actually a British forgery. The British were trying every way, shape, and form to get us to get into the war. Well, fortunately, that didn't happen because of the false map that was discovered, but it actually was because of the bombing of Pearl Harbor. So we ended up getting into another war, a war that should never have occurred. The only reason it occurred was because America ended up coming into that First World War and then basically subverting the German people so badly that they had nowhere to go but to seek to get rid of all the debt and get rid of all the problems. It was a hard place to live before Hitler took over, and he basically put them on a war footing again. So anyway, you can see that, boy, it's kind of sad to see that war is really horrible for everybody involved. And so we want to stay away from that as possible. Yeah, but we're going to get into the current Ukrainian war and get into the real reason why it's happening. Okay, well, then we had the Korean War right after that. Korea was a peninsula surrounded by larger land. China had ruled Korea for 1,000 years. Korea was sick of it all. The United States and Soviet Union worked on freeing Korea from Japanese power. They succeeded and agreed that each should get half. There was a North Korea and a South Korea. And, of course, what ended up happening, the North wanted to reunite the entire country, and there was the Civil War, which we then entered into. So I want to mention something else, because being Polish, and I mentioned this before when we talked about Margaret Sanger not lighting the Slavic people, also not lighting Jews. We talked about the ship, the St. Louis, which was headed with basically Jewish people that wanted to come to America to escape the persecution in Germany, and our president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, under the influence of his wife and also Margaret Sanger, did not want the Jews in this country, so he sent it away. And also, there was another group of people, the Slavic people. After World War II was over, Poland was the first country to experience World War II, which began in September 1st, 1939. Poland was also the first country to engage in armed combat with forces of Nazis and USSR. In other words, Russia and Nazis both attacked poor Poland. In their attempt to change the world order, Poland was the biggest loser of World War II, even more than Germany and Japan. In fact, we ended up rebuilding Germany and Japan, and poor Poland was left on the outs. Again, the Slavic people. In fact, there's even been some crazy movies made. One of them I saw when I was a kid called The Mouse That Roared. And in it, this little country is having economic problems, and they thought, well, what a better way to get out of these economic problems? We'll declare war on America. So they come to America, and then ended up America has to surrender to them because they discovered this bomb called the Q-bomb, which would destroy the entire world, but it was basically a farce. But the thing was, yeah, it was true. If you got into a war with America after we defeated you, we would then rebuild you. And I think some of this is in the context of what's going on in the Ukraine, which we'll get into. Now, I want to bring up something, because this is the real reason with war, for the most part, in America, and what is really moving behind it. After World War II, the main general we had, Dwight D. Eisenhower, became president. And when he gave his farewell address, this is what he said. He warned against unchecked military spending, stating, "We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex." Essentially, Eisenhower was warning that defense contractors were becoming too friendly with the military high command, creating a conflict of interest where their profits were more important than what was in the best interest of the nation. And again, we got into another war shortly after that. And of course, you know the causes of the Vietnam War. Vietnam's desire for freedom from colonial rule, U.S. fears of the spread of communism, South Vietnam's failure to comply with the Geneva Accords, efforts of North Vietnam to reunite the nation under communist rule. Of course, we supported the anti-communist government of South Korea. And look what happened from that. Drugs really came into our country. In fact, I was involved with that because I was drafted during the Vietnam War. Okay, there was a mistreatment of the Vietnam veterans after the war. We lost it, okay? All they wanted to come back to was decent jobs. And the people that were there, and we see this over and over again, the people of Poland, after the war was over, we ignored them. We basically, although they fought on our side, basically did nothing to help them. In Vietnam, the Mounted Guards, these people were Green Berets, and they fought side by side with our country. We just completely ignored them, and a lot of people lost their lives after we left Vietnam. So let's take a look at what happened with another war, Afghanistan. In Afghanistan, we had our military for 20 years. Thousands of men died, many on the other side, many on our side. And one of the things we see, war on drugs was revealed as a total hoax. The U.S. military admits to guarding and assisting the lucrative opium trade in Afghanistan. We were involved in the drugs also. So an interesting thing happened to my wife. She was happened to visit our son, who lives in Oregon, in Bend, Oregon. And she had to stop at Salt Lake City. Well, her plane was diverted because they had problems, and so she had to stay overnight in Utah. in Utah, she was sitting there in a hotel in the lobby, and there were people from Afghanistan there. And when President Biden came on, they just started to look angry and hateful because of what had happened to the Afghan people. We basically left them alone to the Taliban, who are now killing thousands of them. In fact, even that, over half of the population of Afghanistan is now dying from starvation. And what did we do? Not only did we lose the war, we left all our equipment there. We left 208 aircraft, 600,000 small arms, 2,000 armored vehicles. We left grenade launchers, weapons of all kinds, 30 million rounds of ammunition, and just abandoned these people. And my wife experienced that, and even the children who had to talk to her in English because the parents didn't know it, talked about the horrors of what went on in Afghanistan for 20 years. So we have what we call the fog of war. We never really understand it, and I want to use this as an introduction to what we're going to talk about next, which is the war in Afghanistan. First of all, one of the things you have to understand is we're in the Ukraine. In the Ukraine, we see that the Ukrainians are fighting the Russians. Okay, now, one of the things you have to understand is how powerful is the United States and our allies compared to Russia? Well, 34% of all the military spending in the world is done by the United States. Okay, that's 7-1 against what Russia spends. In addition, our European allies, another 17%. So basically, it's about 11-1 in the spending. If we had to go to war, a conventional war with the Soviet Union, we'd wipe them off the face of the earth without any difficulty whatsoever. Our military spending is 10 times what theirs is. We have more sophisticated weapons. We're seeing that their military effort that they've had in Ukraine has been basically fruitless. Okay, so we have to understand the military spending of our federal budget. It's over half if you count up all the Department of Defense and all the things associated with it. So we're a war economy for sure. Okay, so let's go back to the Crimea War. Okay, you remember that's the first time I mentioned that. I mentioned it before. Of course, from that, you get the Charge of the Light Brigade. In fact, one of the things that I always remember, and this is one of the tenets that you hear reported a lot of times by people in power, is ours is not to wonder why, ours is but to do or die. That was a quote from the Charge of the Light Brigade that was written by Alfred Lord Tennyson. Okay, into the Valley of Death rode the 600. So the Crimea War erupted between Russia and the Ottoman Empire and their allies, and France and Britain joined the Ottomans, and they were poorly equipped. They were helped by the French and British soldiers, so the Ottoman defeated the Russians. Result of the war, Russia gives up the land around the Danube River in the Black Sea. Russian pronounces that it's protected, empire is ended, and so forth. What ended up happening was the United States, in reference to this, ended up having a problem with the Ukraine in 1992 after the breakup of the Vietnam War. Now, what happened in 1992 is we signed with Ukraine the Lisbon Protocol. What happened was after the Soviet Union broke up, we had the Ukrainians with 5,000 nukes. There's no way if they would have kept those nukes that Russia would have ever did what they did today. What was happening? Well, the Clinton administration, okay, wanted them to give up those nukes. They did not want the Ukraine to have the nukes. So the United States and Russia and the United Kingdom agreed to protect Ukraine in the event of future attack. They even then wanted to stop and not agree to this, but they ended up being forced to because of various factors, which we're going to get into next week as to how really this war started.
As you canoe through the river of life, may all your rapids be little ones. If you capsize, God can right you again. If you're drowning, God can throw you a line and a life raft. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. If you have questions or concerns or like to know more, you can contact me, LUVH2O, the O is a letter, 62, at Comcast.net.